Would you be seated, please? For some years now, the gist of much of the church's preaching on All Saints' Day has been to remind people that we are, all of us, to be numbered among the saints. And to a certain extent, of course, this is true. We are baptized, and we have therefore been admitted to a company of people who are called to something better. But let's not kid ourselves. I am not a saint the way Peter or John were saints, or Francis of Assisi or Teresa of Avila. The honest truth is that there are people in the history of the church who have done a far better job of Christian discipleship than I have. But at the same time, we do ourselves an immeasurable disservice if we think of sainthood as some kind of Christian heroic that belonged to the glory days, but not to the 21st century. Because that is to suggest either that it is frankly impossible to transcend our current circumstances and to rise to sanctity of life, or that we are so universally flabby a people that none of us could ever hope to do so. But I don't believe that. Surely, unless you really think it has been all downhill since about the 16th century, surely it ought to be possible for someone in our own day to live a life so worthy of Christ that he or she might actually get onto the church's list of saints. Now, thankfully, our own Anglican Church of Canada takes this assumption, takes this challenge very seriously. Beginning some 35 years ago, when we undertook a major revision and updating of our own calendar of saints, which is the beginning of your book of alternative services, or if it's a prayer book in the don't read it now, I'm talking. The front of your prayer book is the old list of our old calendar. And we continue to do this work even to this day as we solicit and we add names of people who might worthily be held up before us as examples of Christian discipleship. I did at one time actually serve on the calendar committee of our Anglican Church, indeed at the very time we undertook this revision. And as we called upon the church to nominate people, to submit their names and credentials for consideration by the committee, I have to tell you that I found this a rather depressing exercise. For so seldom have we entertained the possibility of genuine contemporary saintliness that it seemed to me that we had even forgotten what to look for. Let me give you an example. Now, you must bear in mind that those whose names eventually end up on our calendar are in the company of people like St. Peter or St. Paul or Francis or Teresa, saintly examples of what it means to follow Christ. And then let me read you the actual biographical note which was sent to our committee in support of the nomination of one Mr. S.T. All names have been changed to protect the guilty. I've saved this all this year. Mr. S.T., Q.C., LLB, M.A., D.C.L., D. Canon Law, was a member of the General Synod of the Anglican Church of Canada for over 54 years, a member of his diocesan synod for over 60 years, and was its chancellor for more than 40 years. He was also prolocutor of the lower house of General Synod, the highest position a layman of our church can receive. Chancellor T was responsible for General Synod adopting a church flag in 1955, and it is now used extensively throughout the Canadian church. He has written 3 books pertaining to the life of the church, and Archbishop BP dedicated his book, 250 Years Young, Our Diocesan Story, 1710 to 1960, to Chancellor T. Chancellor T has served on 36 committees while a member of General Synod and has been an active and knowledgeable participant in all of them. Well, heaven only knows that bureaucrats, and maybe even especially ecclesiastical bureaucrats, could use a patron saint. But I have to tell you, I despaired. I despaired not because of Mr. St., who was doubtless, in fact, I know he was because I knew him. He's a kind, worthy, and devoted Christian man. I despaired because the community of the faithful where he lived imagined rising to the lofty heights of the head table at a diocesan or general synod is the stuff of sainthood. Where have we gone wrong that this is what we have taught people to value in Christian discipleship? If this is what we have to model to the world as our best example of what devotion to Jesus Christ means and will do for you, then it is no wonder that people are looking elsewhere for their inspiration. Well, all of this, of course, begs a question. If contemporary sainthood does not consist in hanging about churches and getting elected to positions at vestry, or in being ordained, I might add, then what is it? How do we make a judgment about what is or who is worth copying? What would be the marks of a truly saintly person? Well, in the first place, in most cases, the arena for sainthood is probably not going to be the church at all, but rather the world. It is, after all, the world which God so loved and came to save. So that means that the saint is often someone who serves in an unprotected environment, in an environment which does not constantly comfort his senses with a vision of stained glass or the smell of incense to remind him of God. A saint is thus, first of all, someone who is going to have to work especially hard at remaining rooted in God. That means prayerfulness, and it means faithfully seeking God through the means of grace which the church provides. But secondly, the world, as we well know, is indifferent at best and hostile at worst to the gospel we preach. And so often, the labors of a saint will require of her an heroic witness. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean martyrdom, although it is true that more Christians were martyred in the sophisticated, civilized 20th century than in any other in history. But an heroic witness, it could mean equally to carry on loyalty in the teeth of steadfast opposition, or to maintain one's faith even when worn down by insuperable pain or suffering. An heroic witness need not be splashy. Now, thirdly, the demeanor of a saint is characterized by joy. It's not enough just to go out and perform the works of love. We are called equally to the sheer joy of it. You only have to listen for 10 minutes to know what a complaining people we generally are. It is joy that we lack. It is joy that a saint has. And finally, a saint is one whose life is marked by holiness. Now, by holiness, I do not mean a kind of saccharine piety or sanctimony. It's rather that transparent goodness that sets those few people who have it apart from those who do not. Most of us, I was going to say even clergy, but maybe even especially clergy, live with enormous pressures to run with the crowd, to be considered, despite being Christian, regular folk. A saint is someone who has managed to resist that temptation and to choose a standard of life which sets him or her apart. So prayerfulness, heroic witness, joy, and holiness of life, such are the marks of a saint. In fact, then, Mr. St., notwithstanding, maybe we do know what to look for. It is true that the actual manifestation of these gifts is rare enough, but that does not mean that God has withheld them, because he most certainly has not. Even in our own day, there have emerged from the company of the faithful an Oscar Romero, a Teresa of Calcutta, a Martin Luther King. Oh no, God has not held back his hand. It is we who need to recover our highest values, to covet them, and to believe that they can be kindled to sainthood in our own lives. Amen, and so be it.